Final hour of the show here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Looking forward to the conversation we're about to have. It's been a big night, a big last 24 hours for the Vanderbilt basketball program. And I'm looking at their Twitter feed right now. The only program in the country with a lottery pick in each of the last two NBA drafts is Vanderbilt. And so Darius Garland 2 years ago, Aaron Nesmith last night. So congratulations to Aaron. And, of course, Saban Lee also getting picked in the second round. So an excellent night. Head coach Jerry Stackhouse is on the line with us. And, Coach, I know it has to be a proud moment anytime you get a guy drafted, but to think of those two individuals with what they've been through, you know, fighting through adversity, working extremely hard to get better in the time that they were there, very, very rewarding, needless to say.
Absolutely, man. Really happy for those kids and their family. They really, really, you know, are the epitome of guys that really work for what they got. I mean, I think they put themselves in, you know, great position, you know, this in this year's draft to get drafted where they were. You know, obviously, Saban had a great year, made all second team all SEC. You know, Aaron was probably on his way to possibly being player of the year, you know, and then he got injured in the first game. But, you know, the real test was when adversity hit, how he was still a part of the team, you know, still was in the locker room, still in those guys' ears, and you saw him just continue to get better, even though it was a great opportunity for them to just say, okay, this, you know, Klee's out, Aaron's out. But I think Saban showed his leadership, and those guys rallied around them, and, man, you know, they put themselves in a great position. We were extremely happy for them.
You know, I was listening to Aaron last night in the interviews talking about some of the things that his parents taught him and, you know, his days on the, I think it was the farm, you know, getting up at 6 a.m. and working until 6 p.m., that work ethic that you build from those habits. So I'm curious, Coach, when you inherited him, you know, he'd been in the program for a year. Where did you try to work with him, and where did you see him make the most strides? Because he clearly got better from year one to year two.
Well, I just think he put a lot of work in the offseason, again, shooting the ball, and we just want to put him in positions to take advantage of his strengths. I mean, again, I was probably a little bit of a question mark was about him as a playmaker and a facilitator, but it's like, man, when you got a guy that shoots the ball like that, I want him at the end of plays and not the ones that set the table. So I think those are things that we talked about, him screening more. You know, him being a screener allowed him to come off of screens a little more clean and have a little bit more time. So I just think it's patience, you know, even when the play was for him. Not to rush into the plays, just let the, you know, watch the action, see if the ball got deflected from the point guard. Just little things like that that were, it gave him an opportunity to really, you know, catch the ball and put it in the basket, which he does at an amazing clip.
With Saban, too, one of the things that, that jumps off the page when you watch him play is his ability to penetrate and finish, get fouled. A lot of good things happen. It's hard for people to match up with him and keep him in front. But what's been interesting to me is to watch him every year get better at shooting the ball from the outside. I wouldn't call him a pure shooter when he first came in, but he's made huge strides in that area. Tell us how you tried to work with him in that area, because obviously that will be important for him at the next level.
Well, I think it was Saban. It was just a couple of little mechanic things. I mean, I think he was just so, you know, his release had him so far out of his circle. I mean, we talked about him imagining that there's a circle around you, and when you go up in your shot, that your arms and everything are staying inside of that circle. And I think he locked into that message, and you saw him just improve. And by the end of the year, he was, you know, taking shots off the bounce, you know, threes off the bounce. I still remember that Alabama game down in Tuscaloosa, and he was just, you know, I think he came full circle. I mean, it was some challenges during that year. Obviously, we wanted the role that we wanted for him coming off the bench. I mean, he had been a starter, but, you know, he embraced that. And I mean, to his credit, you know, we were a better team because of it. And then, you know, he still was able to showcase his talent by being our leading scorer and being our, you know, pretty much our most valuable player, you know, for, you know, as the season went on.
It's always a tricky thing for, you know, just regular fans and lovers of basketball to know exactly what pro scouts are looking for with outstanding college players. What are you seeing in how the game has evolved? Obviously, the game is stretched out. Almost everybody on the court these days in an NBA game can shoot and shoot threes, and the best shooters can step two, three, four steps behind the line and still make it. So with that being in mind, you know, what are you seeing, and then how does that translate for how you prepare guys in the college game?
Well, I just think it's, you know, we want to utilize the three because I feel like, again, I like that style. I like the floor being open and being able to have guys that can knock down shots. I mean, it creates openings for guys that penetrate. And, you know, we would still love to, you know, have a post presence. I mean, I still think the core of basketball still is played from the inside out. For the really good teams, they still find a way to get paint points, still find a way to get to the free throw line, even though they utilize the three and try to get more bang for your buck. I mean, I made a living off of mid-range, you know, jumpers, but now the game has changed to where, you know, that's okay. If that's the only result that you can get, you know, the mid-range, but if not, let's get more bang for our buck by maybe sidestepping, you know, behind the three-point line as opposed to taking one dribble in, and if we decide to put it on the floor, let's go ahead and get to the paint. Maybe we can create another opportunity on the weak side or put pressure on that defense and get to the free throw line like I mentioned before. But, you know, these guys, you know, Saban's athleticism, you know, is off the charts. And I just think his IQ, his understanding of pro sets and pro systems, I mean, I think all those guys, I mean, it's going to translate well for what's ahead of them. But, you know, I just give a huge credit to our staff. I mean, I got grinders. I got guys that love to be in the gym, love to work with guys, and, you know, they help those kids get better and help put them in that position. Not only are guys on the court, but, you know, ancillary staff that, you know, supports them and with their academics, with, you know, everything from their player development away from the court. I think they did an unbelievable job, you know. So, and, you know, like I said, we inherited those kids. You know, we got to give Bryce and those guys credit for bringing them in here. I mean, they're super talented, but I think we saw them get better over the course of last year, and it put them in a great position to accomplish what they accomplished last night.
Vanderbilt basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse is here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And one of the big compliments that you and your program got paid last year was from John Calipari after you played against them, when he said that, you know, he could tell that your kids were buying in and the culture was starting to change and you were really starting to make way with them and get their attention. So even though it's been such a weird off season and continues to be weird and things are limited in how you're able to connect with your guys, I guess, how have you been able to build upon that with what you started last year?
Well, man, we got to give credit to our guys. I mean, we haven't had any setbacks, you know what I mean? You know, thank God for that. You know, continue to pray and hope that we can stay, you know, free, obviously, with this pandemic going on and the numbers are spiking, that we're all on heavy alert, making sure that these guys try to police themselves and do the right thing so that we can pull the season off. So we've been able to practice. We've been able to have great days in the gym. We're actually, you know, really sick of each other right now. It's getting testier in practice right now. So I think they can't wait to Friday to where we have somebody else to play against, because they are literally, you know, going at it. So hopefully Friday can't get here soon enough.
One thing that we saw towards the end of last season, your offensive sets got way more effective really before, you know, the stoppage and everything. So how can we expect that progression to pick up where it left off in March and continue to grow?
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think our guys really have a good understanding of how we want to play offense, how we want to play defense. You know, we got our guys. I mean, I don't try to leave a whole lot of gray area for guys to try to figure out what their roles with. You know, I identify roles. You know, we write them out, we put them on the board. We know who our primary scorers are. We know who our secondary scorers are. We know who our guys we want to get downhill. You know who our opportunistic scorers are. Know if you are an opportunistic scorer. You know, score when you get a great opportunity. Otherwise, get the ball to some of these guys that we know that we want to get it to. So, I mean, I think those are things that we try to establish, and our guys are buying in and shit. I'm really, really looking forward to it, man. I think they're excited to play with each other. They're excited to compete and excited to show that we're continuing to progress from how we ended the season last year.
Scottie Pippen Jr. was picked a preseason All-SEC player. I mean, he was somebody that really became a pivot, a important part of your team last year. What have you seen when some of the early practices out of Pippen?
Yeah, I mean, he's continued to grow, man. He's and he had the ball from day one, so like he knows it's his team. That he has to run the team, has to run the show, but at the same time, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on him to feel like he has to do it by himself because, you know, we got plenty of support in this now. We got freshmen that are going to play, freshmen that are really ahead of the game on the offensive side of the board. They still got to get up to speed a little bit defensively, but you know, Tyron Lawrence, Miles Studi, you know, Trey Thomas, these are some names that you're going to hear this year, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with what they bring to the table, along with the guys that have been in the system, Dylan Sue, you know, Jordan Wright, those guys that have taken a step, you know, with their physical, just their physical presence. I mean, they look like men out there. Scotty as well. You know, Scotty spent a ton of time with his dad this summer, and you know, whether they were in the gym or in the backyard, I could see the improvements. He has a great understanding of basketball. So I'm still, like, we're still hoping for those 5 inches that Scotty got, but you know, hopefully he don't get it to his junior year, because if he gets those 5 inches this year, it's over. He's out of here too. So I'm tired of losing them.
So spread it out. Spread it out over a couple of years.
Yeah, spread it out over a couple of years, no doubt.
Now, Coach Jerry Stackhouse is here with us from Vanderbilt. We know that schedules are basically written in pencil in the year 2020 and going into 2021, as we've learned with other sports. But what are your thoughts on how this schedule is going to pan out with trying to get all the games in, and then the recent reports that the NCAA may try and put the tournament in one location and try to have somewhat of a bubble?
Yeah, man, I hope we're able to just pull it off again. I think there's a lot of moving parts. And like you said, I think it's, you need to, you know, write with a pencil with a big eraser. You know, so you just know that there's some things that are going to happen during the course of this year that, you know, may change the way the schedule is right now presented itself. But I think our administration, as well as the SEC offices, have done a good job of kind of starting the season early and having a little bit of a buffer in there just in case that there is a setback, that we can still find a way to reschedule games and get this thing off. But you know, right now it's all systems are go. You know, we've got a 9-game, 9-conference schedule. Hopefully we're able to, you know, get all those games in. You know, we started at Valpo on Friday, then we got a tournament up in Connecticut. So, should be some really good tests early on before we, you know, start conference play at the end of December.
Coach, you touched on it a minute ago. You built a good nucleus. Some young players got very valuable experience last year and should be much further ahead to start this year. But you also get a couple of guys eligible that have transferred in to give you a little bit more experience, a little more maturity there. Go into detail about the two transfers that you've got that will be joining you this year, because it sounds to me like you're pretty excited about them.
I really am, man. I mean, Quentin Millard Brown, you know, is a kid that came, you know, was at Rice for a year, and he just, you know, he just felt like he wanted to. I mean, I think he enjoyed Rice, but he wanted a situation where he could get pushed a little bit more, you know, from a basketball standpoint, playing in the SEC, and he's just been everything that we could ask for. I mean, he's gotten better, he's stronger, he gives us a real presence at the five as far as rebounding. He's a good passer. You know, just anchors a lot of things for us offensively and defensively in it. And I think it really frees up Cleavon to be able to, you know, play more four now. I mean, and take advantage of his ability to shoot the ball. So him and Dylan there is kind of like a combo at the four. Obviously, he's going to play some time, get some minutes at the five. Educate is taking a step. And DJ Harvey, I mean, he was a big-time contributor at Notre Dame, you know, understands, you know, the – kind of the height of the level that we're playing at, because he played in the ACC. And he's a guy that we're looking to kind of fill a lot of that role that Aaron had for us last year as a primary scorer, as a guy that we're going to run sets for. And, you know, probably has a little bit more in his package of playing off the dribble than Aaron did. So I think he's a nice little combination, a mix between, you know, what Saban did for us and getting into the paint and finishing around the rim, and, you know, Aaron's prowess of being able to make shots. So he's good. I mean, and so just hopefully But it's all these kids, man. You know how it is. Some days I feel like you said we got had a great nucleus that came back last year, and some days they look like that nucleus that played a ton of minutes, and then they look like some kids that don't know nothing. So, you know, but it's part of coaching, and that's what, you know. But I think our staff does a good job of making sure that they're prepared, and hopefully this season will be no different.
But you can ask Coach Eddie Fogler. There were plenty of days where I looked like I knew nothing on the court playing for him.
You know what I'm saying?
For a couple of years, yes, no question. Probably more than not. But, Coach, lastly, leave us with this. When you have, the showcase of some top players like the program has had, when you get them picked in the lottery, that's got to help you on the recruiting trail create that vision for players that do want to get the great education and the great experience in the SEC, but also have a goal of going on to the next level. That's got to help you create that vision, doesn't it? That's got to have benefits for the program.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think our league, you know, has benefits. I mean, our program, you know, just with, you know, what we're doing and how we're trying to, you know, every one of these kids, they got aspirations of playing to that next level, you know, and I think that if you come in and work and you know, and you have the talent, you get a shot, not because you're, you know, not playing against the best of the best. I mean, we're one of our mainstays are Kentucky, so you're going to play one of the best teams that gets a lot of the top talent across the country, the blue blood, so to speak, you know, twice a year. We're going to play Tennessee twice a year. We're going to play Florida twice a year. So I think that's a huge selling point for us. But, you know, more so than anything, we pride ourselves on kids that want to come here and families who have committed to academics and as well as committed to athletics. And, you know, we're happy when we find that the optimal mix, and I think a couple guys that we're bringing in the 21 class that really, really epitomize that. I mean, they're great players from the standpoint of being able to shoot the ball, which is who we, you know, want to build our identity that we want to build our team around. But they have a toughness and the swag about them from just a person. I mean, a kid that you would love to have a great conversation with. So, I mean, I think that's the beautiful thing about it also.
Well, Coach, hang in there. I know it's day by day. The challenges are there to get your guys on the court and keep staying prepared. Congratulations on a fun night last night to your two players, and good luck getting it going against Valparaiso here soon.
Man, I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Coach Jerry Stackhouse. Vanderbilt Commodores, they do have the game against Valparaiso scheduled for November 27th. Fingers crossed, as Chase mentioned, yeah. Everything's in pencil. December 1st, they'll take on UConn and the Legends Classic up in Connecticut. And then that tournament also has USC and BYU. So they would play one of those teams in the other game. So let's just hope. I mean, every day that you get to practice is a good thing. As we reported yesterday, we had Dana O'Neill on. She had in her article over 30 Division I programs currently can't practice, right? And with the contact tracing, it's not just like that day. It can have you for multiple days or even over a week if you get a couple of positives. So let's just hope that every day goes by, we get our fill of college basketball and they can work their way to that NCAA tournament.
I love what he said, though, that, you know, we've been around each other so much, we're getting tired of each other now. That's good.
Yeah,
I like it. They're, and, you know,
really, that's the only way that you can – I mean, you got to be in a tight – you know, quasi bubble, right? You just can't go off and do your own thing. You got to be tight knit. You're gonna be spending a lot of time with each other. That's the only way you can keep from picking it up, right? Just stay in your tight bubble.
Yeah, and it's fun too because anytime you see, you know, video of him out at practice and he's shooting around with the guys, I mean, he's still got it. Like, he's still got the shot that, you know, he had in his playing days, and that type of teaching that he can give. And he mentioned Scottie Pippen Jr. in the gym with his dad and working on things. I mean, they have a lot of talent that they can work with and a very talented staff. So hopefully the future is bright for Vandy.
Yeah, I think they'll be quite a bit better this year. I don't know if I think they would be surprising if they got into contention of getting into the tournament, but you never know. But I think they just have more numbers. They're not going to be as young. I think the transfers will help. I don't think that they have an NBA draft pick on this team, but I think, you know, with the way he coaches, I think they'll be quite competitive. I think they'll be fun to watch. And as he said, down the road, I think the next year's recruiting class is very, very good. And so I think next year you're hoping for good things. But, of course, day by day, we'll see what happens. We'll take a break when we come back. And we will get back to football when we return. This is Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.